So thank you very much for that. You know, now all of us probably can remember, and some of us are still children, but all of us, as a child, we played a game. And a game that we see our kids and grandkids playing now. And it was a game of hide-and-go-seek. You know, the simple childhood game, or game of hide-and-go-seek. But you know, I really enjoyed that game. And I'm sure most of us did too, as we played it. You know, the point to the game, and we all know the point, was that we would go hide wherever we could. You know, in the boundaries of the game, we would go hide. And then the person, the it, if you will, they would go count. And the point was they would try to find us. You know, now I'm explaining this to you like you've never played before. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. Maybe you can still try to play it if you want. But when you think back of this game, you know, although it's been a long time since a lot of us have played it, remember, again, the one seeking was called it. And whenever they came out and they caught you, you became it. You're thinking, wow, what does this have to do with anything? Well, we're going to get in a little more detail. As you were hiding, you were out wherever you were hiding, you knew where it was because you knew it was counting. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. And they went on usually to 20 Mississippi, and then all of a sudden, you, as the one hiding, you knew something was about to happen because they would say, ready or not, here I come. So you knew, game on. They're out to get you. They're going to find you. And when they find you, you're it. You didn't want to be it, which is crazy because you really wanted to be it. But anyway, when we think about this game, you know, there's four points that we get right off the bat from this game. You know, point number one, it is coming. It is coming. Point number two, the it that was coming was going to come when they were ready. Point number three we get is whether we as the hider were ready or not, it was coming. And finally, the most probably important point of this whole thing is point number four. If we were or were not ready, it was coming. And when it caught us, there was consequences. We had to deal with the consequences. Now, when we think about those points and that simple childhood game, think about how it parallels the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, as we're children and we're playing this game, we didn't think about that, I'm sure. But now when we look back on this very basic childhood game, it parallels the second coming of Jesus Christ right down to the T. If you will, let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll read verse 7. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, starts off boldly. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Wow. Something's about to happen. Let's look a little further into this. Go back to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And look at verse 11. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. This is exciting. There's a time rapidly approaching that we all get to be a part of. Whether we live into it or we die and are resurrected into it, we get to be a part of this awesome event that's pictured today. And that in itself is a great blessing. It's something we can't take lightly. But in thinking about that, and thinking about this awesome event that's just right around the corner, that's going to happen and affect every one of our lives, there's a very important question that we have to look at. And that's what we want to look at today. And that simple question is, are we ready? How will we get ready? What can we do to be ready? Paul, he has a lot to say about this, and he has a lot of instruction here. So over the remaining of the time, I want to go back and look in 1 Thessalonians. And there'll be some other scriptures, but you might want to put a marker in 1 Thessalonians 5, because we're going to spend the next little bit of time there. First Thessalonians 5, it's here somewhere there, okay. We'll start in verse 1. You know, Paul, he exhorts the church here in Thessalonica to be ready. He tells them that this great event's coming, but if you want to be a part of it, then there's some things that we have to do. We have to not let our guard down. Look at verse 1 here. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 1 and 2. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. You know, the second coming of Christ, it's probably one of the most repeated teachings in the Bible. When we think about everything that the Bible stands for, and it tells us how to live, but it tells us how to live so that we may be a part of this awesome second coming and this great kingdom of God, have eternal life, and be in the God family. So it all ties in together. And again, I'm not telling you anything new, but we need to go back and look at this because time is drawing short. Every day we're one step closer. And before we know it, it's just like, you know, the feast coming and the holy days. Just a while back, we were planning. Now here it is. It's here. And the same thing will happen with Christ coming. We plan for it, but the next thing you know, it'll be here. And the question is, are we ready? Paul, he was well aware of Christ's return. And he explained, you know, this in detail to the people gathered here in Thessalonica. As a matter of fact, it was just read here in verses 1, in the last part of verse 1, Paul told the people, he reminded them of the fact, he says, you have no need that I should write to you. In other words, I shouldn't have to keep telling you this over and over again. He said, you know this. You need to be aware. Keep it on your mind. And he's kind of jogging their memory. He said, I shouldn't have to repeat myself over and over and over. But we all know that sometimes we get caught up in life, and it's very easy to forget the very basics of why we're even taking part of this Christian life. And that's what was going on here in Thessalonica. The people kind of got sidetracked a little bit, and Paul saying, hey, listen, you know, come on, wake up. Think about why you're here. And that's what he's telling us. You know, it's kind of like the old story of this tourist who was driving through a western part of Texas, and they stopped at this gas station. And when pulled into this gas station, they observed this rope hanging off of the sign. And at the end of this rope was a little tag, and it said, weather forecaster. So the tourist said, what in the world is this all about? So the tourist asked the station attendant, what's this mean? What do you get out of this? But he said, it's very clear. He said, if the rope is moving, it's windy. Okay. He said, if the rope's wet, it's raining. He said, I understand. He said, well, if the rope has white stuff on it and it's frozen, it's snowing. And he said, if the rope's not there, a tornado came through. So, well, okay. It's the most basic point. But, yeah, you're right. It all makes sense. Well, you know, sometimes we do as humans, we need to be reminded of the most basic points. The most basic points of why we're here. And it's real easy to get wrapped up in this world and move on and forget. You know, Mr. Armstrong always said, stick to the basics. Stick to the base of the tree. And that's what we have to do. Because when we do that, we become stronger. Every day, we become stronger. And we might forget a few things, but once our mind is jogged, once we see that rope hanging there, we're going to, oh yeah, I remember now. And that's what we have to do. You know, when we think about, Paul here, and I think Paul's life was just absolutely amazing. So where he came from to where he ended up and what he did to serve God's church. It's absolutely amazing what he went through. We look at various scriptures in the Bible here, and they inform us, again, that Christ is going to return. And as we read verses 1 and 2, the last part of verse 2, he says this is how Christ will return. Paul points this out, and Paul's not the only one. He says, as a thief in the night. And we've heard this example many, many times. But we know a thief in the night does not announce when he's coming. One day, when we're not ready, if we're not careful, he's there. And we suffer the consequences. But if we're ready, if we put up our guard, and we're always watching, that can be averted. The question is not if Christ will return. We know Christ is going to return. The question is, when? When? Well, Paul answers that question. Paul very clearly says, no one knows. No one knows. And again, we'll look at that in a little bit, but Paul explains this by describing the time of Jesus, Christ's return. And again, he says, nobody knows the day and the hour, but you can be assured of one thing. It'll come quickly. It'll come quickly. It'll be here before we know it. And as we live life, sometimes every day seems to drag on, and we go on and we're weighed down with the pressures and the trials that we have to go through, and we think this is never going to end. But one day we're going to wake up and it's going to be over. And if we're ready, if we make ourselves ready and stay ready, we'll be there to see it. And it's going to be a great time. If you will, turn to Matthew 24. Keep your place in 1 Thessalonians and we'll come back. Matthew 24. Just goes on to back up Paul's point here. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Christ himself tells us this. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Christ doesn't know. God the Father knows. And as we saw in the game, whenever he reaches 20 Mississippi, he'll come back. The question is, will we be ready? We have to make sure that we are ready. To the best of our ability, make sure that we are ready. And staying in the same chapter here, move forward, if you will, to verse 44 in Matthew. As we see a warning here that Christ shares with us. Matthew 24 and verse 44. He tells us, he says, therefore, you also be ready. You also be ready. Don't wait until the last minute. He says, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Not only do we not know the day and the time, but it's going to be a time that we don't expect. Now, we don't know what that means. We don't know what what the economy holds. Right now, it's in pretty dire straits. We have an election coming up. We don't know if things will change, if things will improve. Things could improve, and we could let down our guard. It would make perfect sense. And then we would see at a time that we don't think, God surely can't come now because things are getting better. He says here, at a time and an hour when you do not expect it. The old saying is, expect the unexpected. Again, if we make ourselves ready and we stay ready, then it won't be a shock to us. It'll be a surprise, it'll be an exciting time, but it won't be a shock. And that's what we have to look at. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Paul continues here. And I didn't keep a marker. There we go. 1 Thessalonians, starting at verse 3 here. For when they say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. He tells us in bold print, he says, his coming will be as a thief in the night. It's coming when you don't expect it. But then he goes on to give us a little more detail and understanding here. He said, but you, brethren, you have the knowledge of God the Father, of Jesus Christ, of the way to live. You have the knowledge of the prophecies. He said, and if you keep that knowledge, and if you don't turn your back on it and don't walk away from it, he said, it will not overtake you as a thief. That's encouraging. We have hope. We have hope that when this time approaches, we will be ready. We can't stop, no matter what. No matter how hard it gets, we can't stop at all. You know, Paul often refers to the second coming here as the day of the Lord, and we've seen that in other places. The tragedy here, the very tragedy, is that so many people will be unprepared. So many people will not be ready. We have all the ingredients here to build the perfect Christian life. Now we know and we understand that as we're humans, we will never be perfect. But we're to strive for perfection, to move forward. That needs to be our goal. And with the ingredients that God the Father gives us, we can work towards that goal. And we can, every day, do our best to become a better person, a better Christian. And as we do that, that's a part of making us ready, making us stronger. When we don't give up, when we stay the course, when we hang on tight, you know, as he said, I think it was back in verse 3 there, he said, for when we say peace and safety, you know, peace and safety, the people who are deceived and are not ready, they will think that they have peace and safety in the world. They hold on to worldly things. But as we understand God's way of life, that peace and safety has a whole new meaning for us as Christians. That peace and safety is in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, and we have that. No matter what comes down the road, if we don't quit, we have that peace and safety. And that is more comforting than anything that we could ever have in this world. We can't stop. We can't turn our back on that. You know, there will be many people out there that will be convinced that things are all right. You know, the world is not such a bad place. And the dangers that are out there that we see, they won't be accustomed to. They won't think anything about it. They'll think it's just another part of life. And this too will pass. Well, it's passed for several thousand years, but its passing is about to come to an end. It's about to come to an end, and Jesus Christ is about to come back in full glory. And when he does, anything that's related to sin or of sin will be destroyed. And that's extremely important for us never to forget. Well, let's go back here to 1 Thessalonians. We have to live a daily attitude of watchfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 6 here. We'll read verse 6 and 7. Paul's warning us again. He says, so then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. It's a pretty bold warning here. As God's people, he's telling us, you know, hey, wake up, because time is moving forward. You know, sometime when we go back to our childhood games, and when we're playing hide and seek, it's not all uncommon for us to say, hey, wait a minute, time out. I need a time out. And the it says, okay, take a time out. You do what you have to do, you regroup, and then you get back into the game. Well, in the game of life, there's no time outs. It's moving forward. And if we're not on board and with it, then we'll be overtaken by it. And God does not want that for us. It's just like a soldier in a battle, standing his command. He's told to stay alert while he's on his post. And we are the same. We're Christian soldiers. We have to stay alert. No matter what, stay alert. No matter what distractions come, stay alert. Because distractions will be coming. Paul instructs us to watch. It's Gregarion is the Greek word for it. It means to stay awake and be vigilant. Stay awake and be vigilant. He commanded, this command that we see here, to stay awake and be vigilant, it's in the present tense. When we read it here in 1 Thessalonians, it's in the present tense, which means it's active today. It's not a past thing. Stay awake back then. It's stay awake now. So anytime you read this, it's referring to the present at that time. Again, it's a matter of attitude. We have to have the right Christian attitude. And it's not impossible to do. You know, we say a Christian's life is hard, and it is hard. But there's always a way. God always makes a way. No matter what we're facing, he does make a way. Sometimes we don't see the outcome right away, but he has a plan. And with that, and knowing that, we can move on. We can get up tomorrow, and we can go forward. We don't have to give up today. A Roman soldier, back in the day, would have been put to death for falling asleep on his watch. That's how serious the command to stay awake and stay alert on your post was. If a Roman soldier fell asleep, he was immediately executed, and another one was put in his place. When we think about that, that falls right into us as disciples of Christ, teachers, Christians living that way. If we fall asleep, we stand the chance of being executed. And that's a very scary thought. It's a very sobering thought to think about. We cannot afford to take that chance. We have to stay awake. We have to be vigilant. You know, Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And when we think about that, you know, that's very scary. When we get up every morning and head out the door, unfortunately, we're on his terms. But we have the protection of God to keep us protected anywhere we are. And that's, again, a great comfort, and it's reassuring to know that we don't have to give in to the ways of the world. Now, it's easy to do, but we don't have to do that. We can stand strong. And that's what God wants us to do. A true Christian, a true disciple of God, will live their life to promote the image of God. Now think about that. You know, we all reflect God in our lives. And as we deal with the public and we live in the world, we are reflecting God, because people who know us know that we go to a church. We're very faithful in keeping, you know, our religious beliefs. And they watch us and they judge us. So we are setting the example of what we hope Jesus Christ and God the Father looks like and acts like. So if we give in to the ways of the world, and then that example, that image that we're setting starts to fade, then we've let them down. We don't want to let God the Father and Jesus Christ down in any way at all. We have to stand strong, no matter what comes our way. You know, when you think about what we just read here in 1 Thessalonians 5, and especially the last part, or verse 7, you know, he talks about falling asleep at night and being sluggish. And he says, those who are drunk get drunk at night. We know that the analogy of Satan is, you know, the one of the darkness. He deals in night. And night, it says, as a thief comes at night. You know, all this refers to sneaky, you know, hiding, being evasive to the public or what might be going on or what should be going on. And we think about just as an overabundance of drugs, how it invades our lives and affects us. It inhibits our ability to make decisions, to make logical, correct decisions. And it also, it could cause us to act, it could cause us to die. If gone far enough, it could cause us to die. The very same thing is true when we neglect to live up to that image that we're reflecting as God, you know, the image of God the Father and Jesus Christ in us. If we do anything to deteriorate that image, then we fall into the hands of Satan. And if we do that, and we don't change our direction, then that can overtake us. It can just be like the drugs that that Paul was talking about here. It can overtake us, and it can snuff us out. So we don't want that to happen. And as long as we faithfully stay, you know, stay the course, that won't happen. But we have to make a conscious effort not to quit, not to give up, no matter what. You know, as a person does these drugs and drinks and whatever, it's a slow process. You know, it's not something that just happens immediately. We've all had, you know, a drink, and one drink usually doesn't affect us. Maybe two doesn't, but you might start to feel something. And the third one, you're feeling pretty good, you know. You see the progression. Sin is the very same way. A little sin might be just a little sin in our book. Sin is sin to God. But if we commit one, it's much easier to commit another one, and then another one. And the next thing you know, we're on a spiral downhill that it may not stop. We have to get it before it gets a hold of us. And Paul's pointing out the very same thing here. Let's move on here in 1 Thessalonians 5, looking at verse 8. We have to live our lives obedient to God's word at all times, not just on the Sabbath. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We must be prepared at all times. As we talked about earlier, a soldier trains to be prepared. We are Christian soldiers. We have to train every day to be prepared and stay prepared. It's not something that we can train one time and be done with. It's an ongoing process. We have to fight every day to do this and live this process. There was a time during World War II that this particular seaman and his group, they were on a submarine chaser out in the Pacific, or the South Pacific. And as they were drifting along, if you will, doing their patrol, they had gone 3 to 4 weeks and not seen another ship, aircraft, or anything. Now, as we all know, a soldier is trained to be ready at all times. Well, these men had gone so long without seeing another soul that they had started to let their guard down a little bit. They were trained to always, always be ready, always have their weapon at their side, no matter what. Well, these gentlemen, it was shower time, so they all took the showers. They had their rifles by their side, but they did not think to put their clothes anywhere within reach. Again, not thinking about it because it's been three or four weeks since they've had any kind of contact with anybody. But they went on, taking their shower, enjoying the evening, and lo and behold, the air raid siren went off. They were startled. They had no idea what to do. It shook them. So, unfortunately for their part, embarrassment, they grabbed their rifles, and someone had given them a helmet, and they ran up to the deck and manned their guns naked. Now, that's really, I mean, you think about that, and it would definitely be a weird scene to see in World War II. And that's really seems like a minor point of not being prepared. But what if they would have went a little step further and left their guns in their barracks or something like that? If they would have got so disoriented that it would take them twice as long to get to the guns that they were manning. There's all kinds of things that happen when we become unprepared, and it snowballs. And fortunately for these men, it did not end in tragedy. It did end in embarrassment, but not tragedy. And I guess that's really the good thing, because hopefully when we find ourselves unprepared, we hope that it ends in embarrassment and not tragedy. Because if it does, you know, that's not a good thing. Let's go on back to 1 Thessalonians here and continue on in verse 5. Or, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, and verse 9. We'll go 9 through 11. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Paul concludes his section of warnings here with an absolutely great compliment and encouragement. He says, this is what you can expect. If you stay the course, if you don't quit, this is what you can expect. He says, and keep on doing what you're doing. And that's living the way of God and encouraging each other, building each other up. And that's a great thing. You know, there's a special spiritual peace that we all have in knowing that we are prepared for what's coming. Now, we have to be careful that we don't have a false hope of being prepared. You know, it's very easy to, as a new Christian, start studying wholeheartedly and then slack off and then still have that false hope that we're ready. We have to continue to prepare every day. We can't quit. It's not a one-time thing. We continue to prepare. But when we do that, we do see that it gives us a special hope, a peace of mind, that we know that God will protect us. And we know that God is coming and we can be a part of this great and awesome family. And it's a beautiful thing. So now that I'm finished with the introduction, I have 7 points. I know you're thinking, oh, great, 7 points. But there are 7 very brief points. There are 7 facts, if you will. But I want to cover these because these 7 points will help us to make sure that we are ready. And if we take these points and put them into work in our life every day, we can rest assured that if we don't quit, we will be ready when Christ comes back, whenever that is. So, if you will, turn to Revelation 3 and verse 3. And we are done in Thessalonians here, so you don't have to mark that anymore. The first point is, be in continuous repentance. Be in continuous repentance, not a one-time thing. Revelation 3 and verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. We have to repent and stay focused. Again, we've said it 1,000 times, this life will bring the worst out of us if it can. And that's okay, because if we get the worst out, that only leaves the best. We need to repent and keep moving forward. Don't quit. Point number two, be perfect and holy, bringing God to glory. Now, that seems a little strange, but think about it. Be perfect and holy. You can be turning to Ephesians 2, verse 8 if you want. We first must understand that in the flesh, it's impossible to live a sinless life. And I think we all know that. Again, this is the basic material. But because we sin and we realize we sin, we repeat the first point. Stay in a repentant state of mind, a repentant attitude. And then we can be clean. When we repent, we are clean. You know, think about it. If it was possible for each and every one of us to live a sinless life right now, then that wouldn't bring glory to God. I don't know if we thought about that or not. But because God is merciful and loving, He takes that sinful life that we live, and if we have the right attitude, a loving and forgiving and repentant attitude, He cleans us, and we get to start again. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It's a gift. God desires to do this for us. And that's a great thing. So, by perfect, as we said in our point, we understand that a life totally dependent on the grace of God, and we are definitely, most assuredly, under His mercy of forgiveness for our sins. And we can never take that for granted or never take that lightly. It's a very, very important thing. So in that, we need to honor God and give glory to God for His love and mercy in our lives. Point three, be living a godly life. Be living a godly life. First Corinthians 10. When we think about living a godly life, this is exactly avoiding the carelessness and the disorder that's out in the world today. We have to understand what's going on around us in life. And I think we do. But understanding it and then avoiding it is two different things. It's easy to understand it, but the hard part is avoiding it. That's the next step. That's where obedience to God comes in. We have to avoid any mixture with sin, if at all possible. And as we do this, we can become stronger. You know, our goal should be to live a life that brings absolutely nothing but glory and honor to God the Father. And when we set that as our number one goal in this physical world, everything else will fall in place. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. A very simple message. But in saying that, it requires a lot of us. It's not easy. But we can do it because God says we can. Point four, be thankful. A very basic point. Be thankful. We need to be exceedingly grateful just for everything that God the Father and Jesus Christ have done for us. When we think about that alone, nothing else matters. They've done so much for us that we are not worthy or even able to repay it. But when we give them honor and glory that they're due, then that makes them pleased with us. And then we are living the Christian life. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, a very basic commandment here, if you will. This is what we need to do. This needs to become a priority in our life, to be thankful for what God has done for us. We have this great calling. It's a blessing that very few people have. But God the Father has seen it in His heart to offer this gift, you know, of His calling to us, to give us an opportunity to be first fruits, to experience this great day that we're pictured today and that's shortly coming. And it's a great thing. Point five, be promoting Christ in season and out of season. Be promoting Christ in season and out of season. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, and verse 15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Nothing is excluded. Go into all the world and tell everyone about the gospel of the kingdom of God, about the way to live as a Christian. We need to take this scripture and put it into our lives. You know, as we walk out onto the streets, into our jobs, schools, whatever it might be, the minute we step into anybody's eye, any public eye at all, we are proclaiming Jesus Christ, simply because we have dedicated our lives to living a life of Jesus Christ. And in that, He's reflected in us. So, our example is being set, and we're reflecting that of Jesus Christ. So it's very, very important that we promote that in a godly way. And that all starts with ourselves being obedient to God. When we have that obedience to God, when we face the human race on a daily basis, we can do it with our head held high and in confidence that we are displaying the message that God wants us to do. But we have to do this from a godly standpoint. And again, it's not easy to do, but we practice it. And as we practice it, we will get better at it. Number six, be generous. Be generous. We have all, as we just said a point ago, we have all received one of the absolutely best gifts already that any person could ever hope for. And that is this awesome calling that God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ have offered us and went through a sacrifice to be sure that we had all the information that we need to know in accepting this calling. That is a gift that truly keeps on giving. And in that, that shows their generosity. And that's an example that we need to follow, being extremely generous to each other, to people around us, our neighbors. Do what we can to help. Do what we can to help. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4. In verse 7, for who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? In other words, if God the Father, Jesus Christ, in their love and mercy, has given us these gifts, why do we not continue to give these gifts and pass them on? We need to. It's part of our Christian duty to pass on our way of life to anybody that is willing to listen. And we keep doing this, again, as we live our life. That sets the example. And that may be the first calling that somebody may get, is how they see us living. So it's very important for us to live the best we possibly can. And our final point. Point number seven, be praying and watchful. Be praying and watchful. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. It says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In other words, pray all the time, everybody, and have no doubt that what we ask for, God will, in His time, take care of. And understanding that in His time. You know, we always pray that God will take care of this or that for us. And that's that's good because we should. But as we read in Matthew 6, the model prayer, we won't go there. Matthew 6, we see Christ laid out the example of the model prayer. And He says, you know, He goes down and says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And that's an important part of our prayers. God wants us to ask for whatever we need. God knows what we need. And He knows when we need it, more so than we do. We might think we need it today or tomorrow, but God knows that we may not need it till next month or next year even. And we need to accept that. But we can't stop praying and watching as a part of being ready. You know, when we think about these points and what this day pictures, again, this is one of the highlights of a Christian's life, to have this great understanding and to know that we're not just going to grow old and die and it's over. We know there's something else. This is just temporary. And once we pass this test and make it through, the rest is glorious. And it all waits each and every one of us. I want to look at one final section of Scripture here. In 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 11. 11 through 14. Second Peter 3, verse 11. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for the new heaven and the new earth, in which righteousness shall dwell. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blemish. We have to do everything we possibly can in this life to live a godly life. We have to do everything that we possibly can in this life to be ready. And as we pray and study and meditate and fast and all the basics that we're instructed to do through the Bible, we can rest assured, if we're doing everything that we possibly can, then we will be ready. We will be ready. And as He comes as a thief in the night, it won't overtake us as a thief in the night. I'm going to close by sharing with you a story, and I'm sure a lot of us have heard this before, but it's very fitting, and there's a lot of meaning to it. And again, it's a true expedition that happened. During one of his expeditions to the Antarctic, Sir Ernest Shackleton left some of his men on Elephant Island. He did this with the intent of returning, and he was going to return sometime, not knowing when. He was delayed. By the time he could go back to retrieve his men from this frozen, isolated island, he had no access. He couldn't make it back. Three times he tried to retrieve his men from this island. Three times the ice, the weather was so thick and so abrupt that he could not get through. Finally, on his fourth try, he broke through the frozen, narrow channel And he made it to this isolated island, Elephant Island. Much to his surprise, when he got there, he found every one of his crewmen packed, standing, and waiting, ready for his return. They had no communication back and forth when he was going to return. They had no idea that that day would be the day he returned. He was absolutely shocked. And he asked them, he said, "How in the world did you know I was coming back today?" The leader of the group stepped forward and said, "Sir, we had no idea that you were coming today. But we practiced one thing. Every morning we got up, we packed our tents, we packed our belongings, we put out the campfire, and we were ready. We knew one day, because you said it, that you would return. And now we're here." And when we think about that, that exemplifies how a Christian's life should be. Every day, we need to get up and spiritually pack our belongings and expect Christ to return. Because one day, he's going to return. And then we can say, "We were ready." And he will say, "You were ready." And that's going to be a great time. So when we think about what this day pictures, the magnitude of it, it's encouraging. And yet, it also shakes us up to the point that we need to check ourselves. Make sure that we are like the Shackleton crew here. Make sure that we are ready. Because one day soon, we're going to hear that 19 Mississippi, 20 Mississippi, ready or not, here I come.